But this morning, I'm going to share with you a message that the Lord deposited in my heart when I was up in Tahoe in those mountains. I even shared it with my girls a little bit because the Lord began to speak to me. And it was very surprising when God speaks to you sometimes. And you're not prepared all the time for that still small voice when the Lord says, hey, I just want to say this to you. And when God says sometimes these little things, it so smacks you in the face with truth, you can't forget it. And I really believe that this is a message, this is an idea that the Lord put to me that I'll probably carry with me to my grave. Because it's coupled with all the imagery and all of the sights and sounds and the smells of something that made it so tangible that when he asked me this question, it just really rocked me to my core. And I said, oh, Lord, let it never be the case and let me always learn what I need to learn from this moment. And so in order to share this with you, I want you to turn with me to a section of scripture. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 15 through verses 17. When you're there, say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Not everybody's there yet. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. How about everybody else? The slow flippers, are you there? Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. It says, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17, and the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. What the Lord dropped into my heart was that question, that statement from chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or even the things in this world. And I'm sitting there staring at all the beauty that God created. And all I could ask is like, what? I don't understand why you would say, after making such an awesome place, all of the things that you created for my pleasure. I know you did. But yet then you say, don't love it. And I go, huh? I don't understand, God. I don't understand how you can make such awesome things to enjoy and then at the same time say, don't fall in love with that. Everything is passing away. All that stuff is passing away. So make sure you keep your love where it needs to be. And I sat there asking the Lord that, and tears began to roll down my face, and I began to see that the Lord is challenging his people all across this planet with that tension between this world and the next. You have a choice, Christian. You have a choice to set your affections on things above or to set your affections on this earth. And that is a tension that God has intended for you to balance between. You and I are constantly being posed that question. Balance your love and your affections between this world and that world. This world is passing away. But it is a good world, and there are many things to love and enjoy. But this world is passing away. Amen? And so there is a need for us to consciously set our affections on something even more substantial. And the challenge is, we haven't seen that yet. We only have a deposit of it in our hearts. And that deposit comes through faith, something that you must lay hold of in your mind and your heart. You've got to lay hold of it, but you can't touch it with your hands and you can't see it with your eyes, but you can feel it in your soul. There is a faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you that has given you access to an eternal life, and that is real. This has fallen. This is just the prelude. It's the green room, to use a theater term. You don't stay in the green room forever. You go on stage eventually. The green room isn't where the big show happens. It's just the time of waiting and preparation. But the stage is up in heaven. That's where the real show is. Don't fall in love with where you're at right now. And as the Lord began to impress that upon my heart, he began to awaken my mind's eyes to all of the things that fight for our affections and for our loves. And I don't know about you, but I'm a loving guy. Now that don't take me wrong. That doesn't mean I just love Petrea. I love all kinds of things. And some of you know some of the stuff I love. I love coffee. I love outdoors. I love water. I love kayaks. I love dogs sometimes. I love cats never. And I mean, there's so many things that I love in this world. I love people for a little window of time, and then I can't tolerate them. And then, I love the Bible. Yeah, as long as it doesn't hurt. And then I love church sometimes. And then I love music most of the time. There's so much of the things in this world that I love. I love some of my kids even. And there's so many things I love. I like all of them that are here today. No, I tease. I had to say it just because I don't get the opportunity. So I decided to listen. Keith is going, bad pastor. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so she'll never hear unless you tell her. So don't tell her. No, I'm teasing. And it's amazing how our affections can get sidetracked and fall in love with some of the things that it shouldn't. And so I was reminded as I was prepping this message how to convey it about our affections and what we want and what we set them on. And say whatever it is that you might want in this life, what you might like. Maybe it's that vacation home. Because it's amazing to me what people can do in California. I mean, you think that economy is bad? Go to California and see the dramatic extremes. The dramatic extremes. The $150 million mansion. The, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not even a $10 million mansion. It's $150 million. It's like, I don't even know how to spend that much money. Give me a chance, I'll try. But I mean, that's a big mansion. There was one guy out there. Anybody remember watching Bonanza? The Cartwrights and all that kind of stuff. I found out there that's where they film the Cartwright thing. It's right there near Tahoe and stuff. You know what some punk did? Some millionaire punk didn't like the tourism next to his house. So what does he do with his frivolous millions? He buys the whole ranch and then he shuts it down so no visitors can come. That's right. Oh. And everybody in Tahoe is like, he's a jerk. Yeah, he's a jerk with millions and millions of dollars that can just buy buildings just not to use them. I'm like, man, there is no end to what you could go after in this life with money and lands. You can have 10 vacation homes up north. Woo-woo! On every little lake up north from here that you can enjoy. Spend every weekend at each one of them. It's awesome. And then you can come back to your home in boring Green Bay and then go back next weekend. I mean, there is no end to what you could go for. You can get every degree on the planet. Get the biggest paying job. You can gain the whole world. And I look at this and I think, I don't know what you're going for. But a long time ago in ancient Siam, they used to use a unique method of ruining a person. The king of Siam, when he had a noble or someone in his life that he wanted to ruin, you know how he ruined him? In the most devious of ways. He took a sacred white elephant. And he would take a sacred white elephant, which was so holy you could never give it away and you could never get rid of it. You could only maintain it and give offerings and worship it. You just had to maintain it in such an extravagant way. It was like giving someone a massive debt that they were obligated to say they love. And so he would give this person he wanted to ultimately ruin this massive white holy elephant. And this individual would start pouring their monies and their affections and doing all the things that had to go in with all of that honoring this sacred white elephant. And eventually they would go broke. They would no longer be able to support their family. And they would literally be destroyed by the very gift that the king gave them. And that was his intention. I want to destroy you, so I will give you something that you think you want and is so wonderful. I look at that and I think that's the same way the prince of this world operates. He says, they have heaven as a deposit, as a Christian, but I'm going to put them in an environment that I can control as many options as I could possibly control so that they can get that white elephant. Everything they want. I will fill them to the brim with everything they want. You want love? I'll give you love. You want material things? I'll give you material things. You want renown and glory? I'll give it to you. I remember when I was first starting out in ministry, it's a saying that I think has cycled in Christian circles many, many times. I don't know if it came first from Billy Graham or from someone else, but I don't know, but I still remember this. You have to watch out for the three G's. As a minister or as a Christian, you have to watch out for the three G's. Do you know what the three G's are? The glory, the gold, or for my case, the girls. For portrays, it'd be the guys. So you got to watch out for those three G's, the glory, the gold, or the girls, or the guys. And these are the things that that white elephant represents. It's whatever it might float your boat, so to speak. God will allow you to be tempted by that in such a way to test your faith. Will you choose to set your affections on things above? Or will you set them on the earth? How empty of a goal a white elephant is. In this section of scripture, do not love the world or the things in the world. What does it mean when it's talking about the world? You know, this word is cosmos. It's the same kind of word where we get the arrangement of the universe. That same Greek word that says how everything is arranged in this entire, I don't know, state of something. But in this application, it really means, this is it, the present condition of human affairs. The present condition of human affairs. So it's the way your world is built. The way your world is built. So do not love this world or the things of this world. What is he saying? He's not saying don't love falafel and dates and Jewish walks around the city of Jerusalem. No, that's not our world. What is our world? Cheese curds, Green Bay Packers, lake homes, fun in the sun. That's our world. I don't live in California. If I lived in California, it would be all the things that we enjoyed for 2 weeks that wore me out crazy. But I live here in Green Bay. I enjoy Green Bay. I couldn't wait to get back to just green that you didn't have to water. I love that. In fact, my lawn was so massive, I think one neighbor mowed a portion and gave up. And so I'll have to mow the rest of it today probably. I know, hey, when your donkey's in the ditch, you got to dig it out or you got to pull it out, right? So I'm going to have to mow today even though it's Sabbath. Pray for me, Mikey. Or come over and mow. So this is my reality. And I love a lot of it. What's your reality? What's your world? What's the condition of your human affairs? Some of you got great jobs. Some of you don't even have a job. Some of you have horrible jobs. Whatever your condition is, there is no doubt a temptation to be caught up with it. You like your car? Is it paid off? You got a good car? Man, driving down from Lake Tahoe, I saw every supercar you could imagine. It was like a game. I was driving. Well, we left before the 4th of July. So as we were going down, you could see all of the crazy expensive cars coming up. I couldn't even keep count of how many Porsches I saw. All the ones that really stood out to me were all the Bentleys, the Maseratis, and the, you know, those kinds of cars that you were like, oh, look at that. Teslas, they were like a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. They're boring. I was looking for the really extravagant ones. I was like, oh, look at, there's a Ferrari. There's a Lamborghini. Oh, that's a Lamborghini I've never seen in person. And I'm sitting there just, it was so fun. And you're on a mountain road. That's the place you're supposed to drive those. That's so awesome. What if you love your Hyundai? That's my world. I don't got a Ferrari, but my Hyundai is. It's awesome. Jeff got a taste of the beast. I'm talking the minivan. Yeah, the minivan was awesome. He was even revving it at the airport. You can't resist the power under there, man. It's so beautiful. I mean, I walked out and he was, it sounds like a kitty cat. And I'm telling you, that's my world. I live in that world. And then I come back to my house. My house is my house. You know, it seems like my castle. But whatever your world is, it can consume you and own you if you let it. If you let it. You get caught up in your job. You get caught up in the possessions and the things you want to possess. Every white elephant you think is going to bring joy and peace and stability in your life. And you run after that until you get it. And then you realize it costs more to maintain and ends up driving a wedge between you and the Lord. Now, here's where I have to take you to an experience I've never had before. A couple days ago, Bree and I. I'm not going to bring you up, even though I'm tempted to bring you up so we could demonstrate. See, Bree and I did something together as father-daughter that I never expected to do. We surfed for the first time. So here we are, Pismo Beach, and going out there, Bree says, "Dad, I just want to go surfing." I was like, okay, I'm old. I don't want to try something for the first time and then eat it big time and then come back in a neck brace and tell the church I was trying to surf like an idiot, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I did it for my daughter's sake. Oh, that back is really good. Well, this is fun, you know. I didn't want to do that, but part of me was just like, I never surfed before. I just never really took the opportunity. And I think everybody thinks if you've been in California, you must surf, right? That's just what everybody does. No, we don't. Most of us just eat food and lay out on the beach and get fat and tanned. But we surfed and we took a lesson together. And I'm telling you, it was so fun. We met our instructor. He's just one of the dearest guys. He looked like the biggest cliched hippie surfer dude. And he's got his wetsuit on. We meet him at the parking lot. And it's just Bree and I and Brandon. And Brandon's like, man, we're going to go surf today. And we're going to take it all in. And I was like, that's nice. We're going to take it all in. I have no idea what you're talking about, man. And so we get our surfboards and we go out onto the beach. And he's like, let's just put him down here and sit for a second. So then he sits Indian style on the beach. And you get to see, he's like, come on. So then we sit next to him. And he's like, he's not even wasting words. He's just breathing. And he's looking out and he's like, isn't it great? And I'm like, yeah, it's great. I'm paying you $55 for my lesson, $55 for her lesson. Come on, start talking more at least. You know, it's like, that's the way I'm thinking, you know. And he's like, you know, before we surf, you know, you got to get in tune with everything. And I was like, I'm in tune. I'm in tune. I'm focused. I'm in tune. And he was teaching us stuff. And after about 15 minutes, we got to the part where there's lesson. And so we're laying on our boards on the beach. And he's like, all right, man, I'm going to teach you when you're out there. Everything you do up here is going to be good out there. We're going to practice it right here. We're going to go slow, real slow. And we're going to go a little bit faster. And I'm thinking, not fast enough for 55 an hour. And so here we are. We're laid out on the boards. And he's like, and now you're going to get up on all fours. Right angles, man, right angles. Maintain the balance, all this kind of stuff. And you're going to go up on your feet. And I want you, your foot up here in this sweet spot. And he's saying these words. And I'm sitting there and my mind can't help but connect some dots. If you can imagine a big surfboard in front of me today. What Brandon taught us was this. He says, this board is about to be in the water. And if you're going to survive the waves and have fun out there, because that was Brandon's goal in life, fun. He's like, man, there may be hazards. But you know what? That doesn't mean don't do it. It just means make sure they don't inhibit the fun. That's like, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, that's great. And he was so sweet. And so he says, just imagine, here's the board. And he goes, now, there are no real lines, but there's imaginary lines in this board. Imagine an imaginary line right down the middle. I was like, I can see it. And he goes, and then halfway right here, imagine another line right there. I was like, I can see that. And he's like, and where these two lines connect, that's the sweet spot right there. And when you stand up, I want your front foot right there in that sweet spot. And he goes, and if you get a little bit in front, if you get a little bit behind, and if your body weight's a little to the right or to the left, it's danger. It's danger, man. Your nose will be down. You'll eat it. But you'll come up smiling. And he goes, or your tail's going to be back and you're going to be lagging and you're going to eat and you're smiling though. Or you catch a rail and you'll dump and then, but you'll be smiling. I'll be like, I got this. This is awesome. But here's what I'm saying. I learned something through that silly educational time with my surf instructor. He thinks surfing has a lot to do with life. And you know what? He's kind of right. Because what he's talking about is there is this balance that you and I as a Christian must maintain. And the sweet spot is right smack dab in the center of that cross. I sat there and all I could see and all I could think about the whole time I'm trying to surf and learning to surf and doing it, actually, I'm thinking the sweet spot is right there in the middle of where grace and my world cross. Where Jesus meets with me and I see this reality of grace in my life, the favor of God in my life. And there's a sweetness to that that keeps things in balance so I never lose where my affections should lie. Because if I stay focused on that awesome sweetness of Christ, it begins to force justify all the other white elephants in my world. All those precious things I could run after or search for like everyone else in the world searches for and then finds that they're empty and it destroys them or messes things up at the very least. So I keep my eyes focused on right there, that sweet spot, and suddenly things become balanced. And here's the fun. As a Christian, we're familiar with the analogies of the storms of life and how if your life is built on the solid rock, you will stand through every storm. And that's what Jesus is to us. But you know what? What if that solid rock was a surfboard? And you were still right smack dab in the middle of the storms of life and you don't know what's coming the next couple sets of waves. It might be a big one. It might be a back-to-back double breaker that does kind of weird stuff and makes you tumble and eat a bunch of sand. But here's the key. If you remember not to get off balance but keep your life in balance, you'll be able to avoid being dumped in the waves and really pounded hard. And that hurts. It really hurts. But if you can keep that balance and you can keep your foot in the sweet spot right there, you will be able to not be tackled by the waves. You'll be able to surf those waves and you'll be able to have some fun. And see, that's what makes Christians different. You're not overcome by the world and all the waves and all the junk in the world. But if you lose sight of Jesus Christ, if you lose sight of the grace and where your affections are, you will find yourself increasingly tackled by every wave in life. At some point, you will feel dumped. You'll feel empty. And don't think this is me talking about someone not in this room. All of us have that temptation. You get caught up in the things of life. And then suddenly, like when I was surfing one, it was so much fun because you could tell. If you got a little too front, suddenly the nose of your surfboard was eating it. And if you didn't fix, if you didn't adjust quickly and scoot back just a little bit, then suddenly you ate it. And then the other thing was crazy funny. So here's Brandon. He's like, I don't know, 6'2", something like that. He's just like long, gangly, you know, guy. And at one point I was like, I'm tired. We've been doing this for an hour. My arms don't have any more arms left. It's like, and he's like, that's okay, man. Give me your board. I'll show you some cool stuff. And so he took my surfboard. And here's this long, gangly guy. He swims out and then he jumps on a wave. And he is so low. I thought his hiney was like scraping the board. And I'm looking, how you do that? And he's like, man, stay low, stay low. Here's the application to you and I. It may not come in just your affections being set on something else. You just may forget to be humble. You just may forget to stay flexible. And see, that's just as bad as getting off balance in other ways. It's just harder to balance when you're arrogant. And you never look in the mirror to let the scripture really abrasively rub apart the parts that are yucky. You know, and that's part of what Christianity does. If you want to keep your life in balance and really have fun in this life, you have to be willing to let the scripture be soap, hyssop, cleaning you. So ask yourself right now, are you afraid of confrontation from the Holy Spirit? What if God said to you, your affections aren't in the right place? Would you look at him and say he's an idiot? Would you say, hey, stop that. You don't have any business telling me that I'm off base here. I still love you, God. But what if God's answer is, but you don't love me like you used to. You don't love me like you used to. You love something else a little bit more right now. And my fear is, I'm not talking to Californians. I'm talking to Wisconsinites. I'm talking to those in Green Bay. I'm talking to you guys and maybe those that are listening to this podcast at some point. Where are our affections in Green Bay? Where are our white elephants that we're running for? I tell you, you will be empty and unsatisfied if it's not on Jesus Christ. Put your affections firmly on that sweet spot today. I'm reminded, I'm going to wrap this up here really close. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, verses 2, I read in two different translations. I'm going to read it in this first translation. I'm going to say, since you were brought back to life with Christ, focus on the things that are above, where Christ holds the highest position. Keep your mind on things above, not on worldly things. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. That's another way of saying that. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. So, how I find this impressive is, I was sitting out there and I was asking the Lord in Tahoe, I was asking the Lord, how do I keep my heart balanced, Lord? How do I keep my heart balanced? And it comes back to just loving Jesus. And I was reminded in a very dramatic way of what it might look like for just simple things to come in and separate me from that sensitivity to the Lord. Do you know that whenever we lose our sensitivity to the Lord, it's not in giant leaps, it's in small degrees. I've never met a person who's had an affair on his spouse or her spouse who's done it in a one giant leap. Never met him. You know how it starts? A smile. Attention, thoughts, more thoughts, more time, experiences, and over a course of time, they're wooed away little by little to where then that small next step is really a giant leap. And how are you and I pulled away? We make compromises, little compromises in our life. We no longer think that the Bible holds value in certain small areas in our life because, well, maybe that was for a different time. No, it's this time. Don't love this world, your world, too much. So church, I believe the Holy Spirit's asking you today, is there anything that you're loving too much right now? Now, it's not a condemnation. Please don't feel like you're condemned. And this isn't a hard message. I don't feel like it's hard. Is it hard? It's not a hard message. I'm trying to convince you and me. So it's not a hard message, right? It's a good message. Why? Because it's what makes life worth living. Don't fall in love with things that would diminish your love for God. You can still love the things in this world, but not if it's separating you in even the smallest degree from your love of God. For some of you, it might just be simply Netflix. For others, it might just be a grandchild. Oh, that's almost like shocking to even think of. I think, no, grandchildren will never separate you from the love of God. Well, they could. Some of it might be just simply religion. You know, religion started out great, right? But at some point, religion took the front of the lead and God took the back seat. And then the Pharisees were created. So maybe it's just being good and it's religion. Maybe it's like Solomon. Maybe your relationships in life. You know, in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he said, you better watch your relationships in life. He said, there's no fellowship between light and darkness. See, some of us lose sight of even that area. You want to love the world, that means your friends in the world, and you want to love them because Jesus loves them, and even if they're not saved, well, you know what? I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to love them, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I can find scriptures that say I got to love the world and love the lost, and spend time. Even Jesus drank with sinners and spent time with sinners. Oh, stop lying to yourself. I'm telling you that right now. Don't lie to yourself. Keep your fences and your boundaries up. Why? Small compromises lead to more small compromises till eventually you're so far at the nose of your surfboard, you crash in the waves of life. Or maybe the other way, you're so far back, you're slower than everything else and you just dump it. And I believe that God is asking some in this room to realign your affections. And if you feel that this morning, I just want you to spend some time with the Lord and just say, Father God, I thank you for drawing my mind to this. I've got to reclaim my affections and set them on heaven. Set them on the grace of Jesus Christ. Don't ever let anything, there's nothing in this world worth sacrificing the next. Nothing in this world. I got to say one more thing in closing. Bree and I were talking, and I said something. I don't know where we said this, but we were talking about affections and talking about love of this world and stuff. And I said, do you know the funny thing I realize is that knowing this dynamic hasn't saved anyone. Knowing it hasn't changed anything. Some of you may know everything I've heard today, and you might have known it for a long time, but it won't change you. It won't change it. It won't change the dynamic. Why? Just knowledge alone will not rescue you from this dynamic. You have to do something about it. You have to obey it. You have to follow it. So that means you will have to do something that maybe you have never imagined yourself doing. Cutting off a friendship or a relationship or changing a job even or stopping something that you're doing or realigning your bank accounts and all of your stuff that you do. You might have to sell a property. I don't know. But until you're willing to go that far, just knowing the truth will not set you free. Because knowing it isn't what the Bible says. It was an epignosis. It's a working knowledge. And it's an experiential knowledge. You must apply this stuff or it doesn't work. Does that make sense? So, would you stand with me this morning? Tell you a story as you think about this. Did God speak anything to you today? Because if he did, don't let go of it. Don't let go of it one bit. The reason I want to share this last story with you is because I feel like if we set our affections on heaven, you will shine brightly in this world. Because I believe over the next few messages, before we go on our missions trip, I'm going to hit this topic again and again. We are in this world. You are living in Green Bay, but do not be deceived. You are not from this place. This is not your home, church. You're not like everyone else in the world. You're an alien and a stranger, and if you get that, you will shine brightly. But if you don't get it, you will not have the light of Christ in your life, and you will blend in with the masses. And when Christ comes back, sad to say, who knows if you'll be with him? Why? Because there is no light inside you. You've got to have the light of Christ inside of you. And here's a story I read. Several years ago, this is about four decades ago, there was a terrible accident. A terrible accident involving a train in which a watchman for the trains was there at a crossing. And his job in the nighttime was to alert by showing a big lantern so that there wouldn't be any cross traffic and no one would become and have that accident. But here this happens. A horrible train crashes into, killing 50 or so people, and it was just a massive catastrophe. And so there was a court hearing, and they questioned the watchman, the night watchman at this train crossing, and they asked him, what went on? And he says, well, I did everything I was supposed to do. And they said, well, all of these families, these kids, mothers and daughters and fathers, they're all dead because they didn't see the train and they crossed and you were supposed to be there to shine the light to keep them from doing it. And then the judge asked him, he said, did you see the train coming? He goes, I saw the train. Did you leave your house and did you come out and stand in the intersection to warn the oncoming traffic? And he says, yes, I did. Did you raise up your lantern and wave it like you were supposed to? He said, yes, I did. And they said, well, I don't understand why this happened, this catastrophe happened. He sat down and a friend of his said, you really did all that? And he said, yes, I answered everything honestly. I'm just glad he didn't ask me if my lantern was lit. Because it wasn't. I pray you remember that. This message lights a lantern in your life, and you will stick out, you will stand out, and make a difference wherever you're at. Because people will notice you're different. Your affections are someplace else. They will see it, that you're in this world, but you're not of it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place today. As we're here in this moment, where we know that you never let go of us. You never let go of us. Your love and your grace is so apparent. You've never treated us as our sins deserve. And yet your Spirit is calling us today to come and draw nearer to you. And Lord, I ask that every person in earshot allows your Holy Spirit to filter through their life, that if there is any affection that's coming in and driving a wedge between us, Lord, that we would remove that in Jesus' name, that we would lay it down at the altar and we'd turn from it. God, I'd ask for you to just restore right spirits, restore an affection upon you above all other things, because with the truth that this world is passing away, let us obey it. Let us follow hard after you for the goal that you prayed in John 17. You said, Lord, you said in John 17, let the world see us by our love and our unity and all these other things. Lord, let them see us as standing out different. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And now, Lord, I ask your blessing on every single person here. Lord, let them be everything that you've intended for them to be. Let your heart be manifest in their lives. Let their relationships be strong and thriving, and their families blessed, their children's blessed. Lord, I pray for their hearts to be overflowing with the joy of your Holy Spirit as your hand rests upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you spend some time loving on each other this morning? Give them some hugs, eat some cookies and some donuts. And if you need prayer at all, come on down and pray with me. Yeah.